and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
How often do you think when you go through a trial that the first thing that I need to do is come to the Lord and seek counsel from the Word of God? That I need to be taught how to live my life from the Word of God, and God is the one who gives me that understanding, for as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, what do you have that you haven't received? You remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus as they walked along, and Jesus came up next to them, and He said to them, what are you talking about as you walk along and you're sad? They began to tell Him about Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. We thought He was the one. The chosen one of God, the one who would come to redeem His people, to save us from the oppression of the Romans. And Jesus told them that they were slow of heart to believe all that God had promised. And it says there that He opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Is there anybody in here that doesn't need their understanding opened? I need it. I need it more and more in my life. I need my life, as the psalmist said in the hymn we just sang, that I would be taught the statutes of God, that I might live therein. What brings glory and honor and praise to God is living according to His Word. How can you glorify God more than walking in obedience to His Word? And beloved, for that, we need the assistance, the guidance, the direction of the Spirit of God, teaching us, illuminating our minds to this Word. So the second big question is this: how much time do you spend in the book? It's the Spirit who's going to teach you the Word. It might be taught to you as the preaching goes forth, and you are illumined to a certain passage that you were not prior to this time. It might be through a Bible study. It might be just simply by reading the Word, and the Spirit quickens your mind to an understanding of the text of Scripture. And I'll tell you, our problem as those who confess faith in Jesus Christ is we don't spend enough time reading and understanding. Reading to understand. Reading to meditate on the Word of God. Reading that the Word might be hidden in our hearts. Why? That we might not sin against our God. For this we need prayer. We need to ask of God. James tells us, as the slaves of Jesus Christ, you'll notice that this is what he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember from last Lord's Day, that the translation is slave. It's doulos, and that means slave. He understood that we are those that are bought at a price by Jesus Christ. And when he says, my beloved brethren, he's counting them also in as slaves of Jesus Christ, bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You are a slave, a doulos. If it meant servant, you could use diakonos, which means servant. This means slave. And you ought to understand yourself that way. Not a slave of sin, not a slave of the sinful passions and desires, a slave of Jesus Christ and of righteousness. And that means our whole life is to be about the business and purpose of serving the one who has bought us. That's all a slave did. A slave was concerned primarily with the service of the master. What would you have me to do? So James writes to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And you remember from last Lord's Day that we are called to count it all joy. We fall into the various trials. Just a quick review that rejoicing is something that we're called to as we come into all types of problems and trials and tribulation and persecution and suffering in our lives. And I had a comment last Lord's Day that it's not always easy. Well, that's what makes it a trial, isn't it? Trials are not easy. It's not easy to rejoice in the midst of tribulation. But so often, our focus is not right when we come to the trial. Perspective is everything. Perspective, understanding as you're going through the trial. And that's what James calls us to, is to have an understanding mind. When you meet with various trials, knowing, notice the knowing there, Greek term gnosko, it means to know, to have an understanding. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There is a result. It's not the ultimate result, but the end as you come through the trial is going to produce endurance in your life. Hupomone is the word there in the Greek. It says steadfastness here in the ESV. But it means endurance, perseverance. You keep on keeping on, even in the midst of trials. You keep on praising the Lord. You keep on praying to Him. You keep on meditating upon His Word. You keep on praying that He would illumine the Word to you. You keep on growing in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. This is what you do even in the midst of the trial. And He says, let steadfastness have its full effect. Let it do what it's going to do. Let it do what God has purposed it to do. You see, beloved, think about that. Think about the trials that you're going through today and that the Lord has a purpose in your trials, whether or not you understand it. Did Job understand his trial? When did the Lord tell Job why he went through the things he did? Well, when you come to chapter 42, you realize he never did. And what was sufficient for Job to know is that God Almighty rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men, and He can do with whatever He has created as He pleases. And no one can say to Him, what are you doing? Will the thing formed say to Him who formed it, why did you form me this way? Why are you putting me through the crucible? Job put his hand over his mouth and he said, I spoke too soon. I love those portions of Scripture where the Job wanted to get a hearing from the Lord. I got a few questions for you, Lord. I got a few for you too, Job. And I'll go first. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know these things. Where is the storehouse of the snow? Who commands the lightning bolts? Where is the rain kept? Who is the one who said to the proud waves, thus far and no further will you come? Who's the one who let the first wild mountain goat go free? Tell me if you have understanding, O wise one. Job put his hand in his mouth. Whoops. Spoke too soon. Got my foot in my mouth. Who can contend with the Almighty? Job learned his place. If you have your Bible open, look at James chapter 5. And look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Notice this verse, next couple of verses here. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The Lord, through the suffering of Job, was compassionate and merciful upon him. And beloved, you can read the beginning of Job and then fast forward to the end and see that Job was blessed twice as much as he had in the beginning. And the Lord had a good end intended in the trial of Job. And you know, forget about the material things that he received as a blessing from the Lord. Think about the conformity into the image of the Savior, Jesus Christ. For that's the image that Job was being conformed into. A true worshiper of God. One who humbly bows to the Creator, the God Almighty, the one who upholds the universe with the word of His power. God was very merciful. Job didn't understand that, yet he persevered. Do you remember what Job 1 says? When he was being pummeled time after time by the four servants that came, that talked about all of his livestock being taken from him, and then his children being killed. And he's left there with four servants and a wife that's telling him to curse God and die. And Job arose from the ground, which tells you that he was devastated. He was on his face. He was knocked to the ground over this situation. We heard about one recently, didn't we? How devastating would that be? Heart-wrenching. Job, in the midst of that, rises up, it says. He tore his robe, shaved his head, and then fell on his face and began to worship. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that your attitude in worship of God? Is that your attitude when He pries things from your hands? When He puts you through the crucible of the trial and the fire? Which Peter says in 1 Peter 1, is only meant to burn off the dross, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold or silver that perishes, might be to the praise and the glory of our God. We would count it all joy. We would be in a mode of worship if we understood these things aright. We would understand and we would rejoice if we didn't hold on to the things of this earth so tightly. If we had our perspective right according to the Word. Because you're going to lose everything you have, beloved, in this world. I don't care what you have and how much money you got in the bank, how much land you have, how many cattle you have, what kind of possessions you have. You are going to lose it all. Somebody else is going to get it. And then you're going to stand before the living God. And then you're going to realize that there is nothing, nothing in this world more important than faith in Jesus Christ. That's the most valuable commodity that you have, is faith in Jesus Christ. And so James commands here. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. Not let him ask of the professional of the day, the super counselor who has all the worldly wisdom and can give you all the worldly answers of why you're going through what you're going through. He said, let him ask of God. Is that your practice when you go through trials? Do you first fall upon your knees and ask the Lord to give you wisdom through His Word? And it might even be the wisdom of this. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted on the earth.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerclus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.